Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Let's roll out the Monday edition of Sports Time Radio. I, of course, am the Big Jack. With me, as always, is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, hey, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturday mornings, so that gives you a reason to go over there on those 2 days, but swing by there, you know, any other opportune time you have, just to see what might be going on. You just never know what's going to show up there. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, you want to hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, Dan and I would greatly appreciate that. We still have issues with Mr. Fantasy, but I think that's because he thinks he's better than you. But, you know, one of these days we'll work that out. Of course, don't forget there's also the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, you can find Dan and I on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with three.
So, and, you know, now, Dan, I want to tell you that if I happen to have a bad podcast or anything, it's because I have a broken right hand from punching a whiteboard when J.R. Smith screwed up, and I didn't want anybody to know until after it was all over, okay?
What you mean for that?
Oh, wait.
Whatever race level you think.
I just kind of thought that was humorous that he magically had an injury after they got swept. So.
Oh. Yeah, isn't that usually how it works?
So, yeah, it was weird because, you know, once they mentioned that, when I started watching the highlights and stuff, I kept kind of looking to see if he was favoring the hand or if there was anything going on with the hand. And it's so weird because if it's broken, like he said, he doesn't favor it at all. You know, and then to make it even kind of odder is if this happened in game one, he didn't really do anything to kind of protect it after, you know, the other games. So I'm kind of questioning this a little bit. You know, obviously I would like to you know, believe him at, you know, face value that this is legitimate, but man, you know, there's a lot of fishiness that goes into this. Are you buying this, or, you know, did the Mickey Mouse Network tell them to put it on so they could cover it up? Oh, way to start the podcast. Dan drops off. What? Going to be one of those days, huh? All right.
I mean,
are you buying this injury?
What was it? 51 points in the first game?
Right. With a broken hand. Well, you know, apparently he didn't do it till after the game. So.
No, I mean, I'm not buying it.
So, and then, you know, then I guess the other question that kind of pops into my head is, okay, let's say this is true. Do you think it affects the outcome of games 2, 3, or 4?
No, not one bit. Because he scored 62 points in one game and they still got their ass handed.
So, yeah, I just kind of thought that was interesting that we had the magical mystery tour injury here, you know, just kind of all of a sudden it was like, hey, well, you know, this happened in game one, but we didn't want to tell anybody. Okay. That's great. Wonderful. You know, so we'll have to work with that, I guess. So yeah, I, I don't know. I was just kind of shaking my head. But then, of course, you know, Dan, apparently the odds came out. I don't know if you can actually bet on this in Vegas, or I guess quite possibly any other sport, any other state, because sports betting is now legal. But apparently the Lakers are the favorite in the opening round of the LeBron sweepstakes. Do you buy him going to a bad Laker team?
No, I mean, we talked about this last week. He goes there, they're not winning a championship.
Yeah, it was kind of baffling to me because, I mean, what I didn't understand is why do you want to go to a bad Laker team? Maybe, you know, he makes them good enough to get in the playoffs. So you get in as a seventh or an eighth seed, and now instead of losing to Golden State in the finals, you're losing to them in the first or second round. That doesn't seem to make a lot of sense, right?
No, not at all. I mean, they have the money. Yeah. Magic has the will. You know, I mean, if they were able to sign Heath, Paul George, and there's one other guy that I can't think of off the top of my head right now. I mean, does that make
Chris
a difference?
Paul?
You've got your big three. Yeah, Chris
Carmelo
Paul.
Anthony? Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
You know, is that your big three? Does that guarantee you a championship?
Yeah, you know, I don't know. You know, I mean, you know, the Lakers, you know, they have some, you know, decent pieces as well. I mean, you know, Lonzo wasn't terrible. I mean, especially considering the pressure he had to perform under with, you know, just between his dad's stupid comments and then everything else that just kind of goes along with, you know, being a member of the Ball family. You know, that's just one of those odd situations. So, you know, I thought he did all right. You know, Kyle Kuzma had some really, you know, really big games for them. And I don't know if you saw this, and I don't know which social media network it was on, but apparently Kyle Kuzma is in China right now. And he posted pictures from that sunglass place where your guy Jello got arrested. So I thought that was kind of humorous. He was kind of trolling the Jello there.
Did he buy him?
That I don't know. They didn't go quite as far into that story to know if he actually purchased something, but. Or maybe he stole them. Who knows? But yeah, I just thought it was kind of funny that Kyle Kuzma was trolling his teammate's brother there. So you know, one of those. But yeah, so that's the gist there. You know, I think it was the Lakers are the favorite, and then it's either the Cavaliers or the 76ers, and then they had a fourth team possible for good old LeBron to go to. And off the top of my head, I'm drawing a blank on who it is. So I just thought that was kind of fun that, you know, we're already getting this, and I'm sure, you know, this is going to go on because, you know, LeBron loves to stretch these kind of things out. So I'm sure we'll be hearing about this all summer long, right?
Oh yeah. With his hand or where he's going to go?
Where he's going to go. So, you know, I don't know. How long can we talk about the hand? You know, that's going to be one of those things before, you know. Yeah, how long do you talk about the hand before you realize it's just an excuse, I guess, is the question.
Yeah, well, I lost my cellular data, so I was trying to look up the stats for the playoffs. But, yeah, that disappeared.
So... yeah, you know, just one of those fun, you know, fun things. We'll have to see. Damn it. Well, you know, we'll have to see how long it kind of sticks around, and you know what we get to deal with there. But yeah, I just thought, you know, I thought like, you know, like he put the cast on for the press conference after game four. It's like, dude, really? And, you know, it's like just, you know, if you didn't want anybody to know, why are you pulling it out now? So.
You know, I mean, pulling out is WWE playbook.
Yeah. I just thought there was a lot of tack involved, you know, being tacky involved there when, You know, you got this, man, oh, well, here, I, you know, I'm going to wear it now. You know, wait, you know, wait till you're done. So. you did not come through that time. You really kind of phased out. So what were you trying to put in there? Oops, now we got to see if Dan, there we go. Yeah, we're having a wonderfully technological day here. Dan kind of stumbled off again there, so we'll have to let him get resituated, and then we will move on. I'm tired of talking about LeBron, so we can get on to another topic, and we will once Dan cycles back in, we will get on to his you know, his players and pitchers of the week, because we, after 2 weeks off, we actually remembered to do them this week, so we will get that rolling for you, and all the other fun stuff that goes along with, you know, Sports Time Radio on a Monday. Again, like I said, it's just, you know, the weather's been rainy and crappy here, and regardless, it seems, of how many technological advances they make with things, they just can't seem to figure out how to beat that. Like, my internet has just been doggedly slow all day. I don't know what's going on here, but all right, looks like we got Dan cycled back. All right, you were making a comment there before you went away. You want to throw it back out there, and we'll move on to your players and pitchers of the week?
I was just wondering if you had any of those stats in front of you.
Oh, no, sadly I did not. I was getting set up for your picks here so we could talk about the guy's numbers when you went with your guy. So, no, I did not grab them. I apologize. Mm-hmm. But I don't want to talk about LeBron anymore.
Well, I do have a question, though. If you had a broken hand, would you play 40 minutes in game 4?
Yeah, you know, I mean, he did play, you know, quite a few minutes, I should say, with, you know, this injury. And I guess the way it was kind of posed was, I guess it's broken. LeBron called it broken, but it's not actually a broken hand. So, you know, we'll have to, we'll have to see what comes up. Now, I don't know. Did you see the, apparently the meme that's going around is an X-ray of a hand with the crying Michael Jordan inside it?
No, I'm actually have to look it up right now, but I just thought it was funny because, you know, like I said, he played 43 that night, 46 the night before, and 43 the night before. He was the highest scoring player on his team all three nights. So.
Yes, with a bad hand.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, just kind of how it goes. But all right, let's move on here, as it is Monday, and like I was telling everybody, we actually remember to do players and pitchers of the week this year. So hopefully you are set. We will start with your AL, as we call it here, hitter of the week, because they are two different categories. Who did you go with?
I mean, this one was a little bit of a toss-up, but I had to go with the number 2 guy of the week, according to MLB, but definitely ranking by batting average, and that was Edwin Escobar.
Yeah.
The shortstop for Minnesota. He was in all 7 games last week. Only crossed the plate himself 2 times, but runs, 8 RBIs. He walked twice. The negative, of course, which doesn't count anymore, was his 5 Ks. But he posted a 4.62 average with 500 on base percentage with 1,000 slugging. So, I mean, he's pretty big numbers last week.
So yeah, it was a good week. I believe your hitters of the week, you actually agreed with the MLB awards that they hand out, which is rare. Normally you end up going a different route than them. So it was kind of interesting. But yeah, there were some choices, you know, right in this area. You know, Jose Altuve had a fantastic week. So did Justin Upton, and even, you know, Miguel Andujar, you know, managed to have a good week. I was secretly rooting for Randall Grichuk just because he was kind of the underdog in all this. But, you know, I don't get a vote. It's all Dan. We're leaving it all up to Dan. So what pushed Escobar over the top? Like you said, he had the second best average, but what kind of shoved him for you past some of these other guys?
Just the, you know, number one, he was in all seven games last week. I am on a hit. I like the doubles. You know, he kind of did everything. You know, if he would have stolen a base, he would have been unanimous. I guess I'm the only one voting, but yeah. Plus, you know, the on-base percentage, the slugging. I just felt like those numbers, everything was looked good for him. And you don't always,
all right, well, we will.
Well, if he had a trouble, then that's who they did. There you go.
All right, well, we will slide over to the National League. And I know, you know, it was weird because, like, during the week, it appeared that, you know, one guy had just kind of stood out above and beyond the rest of the guys. But when I looked at this, the stats, there was actually three guys who had monster weeks, and I didn't even really realize it. But you went with who for the NL hitter of the week, as we call it here?
Oh, I had to go with Paul Goldschmidt. You know, I mean, he did have the most at bats, so giving him the most hits with six doubles, a triple. You know, this was the guy who actually almost did everything. Brandon Crawford was the guy who did everything with that one stolen base. But I don't know, I just felt like if for the hitter of the week, if you were counting on a guy to kind of team pass everything, and get the wins, and not only get the wins, but get guys in and, you know, knock them around. You were relying on Paul Goldschmidt last week, and he was definitely producing.
Yeah, it was interesting because, you know, Goldschmidt hit 640, and you'd think, oh, you know, he's the runaway candidate. And then you pull it up, and you find out that Brandon Crawford hit 611, and Jose Martinez hit 600 for the week. And, you know, Goldschmidt did have – you know, he ended up with, what was it? It was seven more at-bats than Crawford and five more than Martinez. So he had a little tougher, you know, tougher road there. But there, when you run it, I mean, he scored more runs. He had more hits. He tied with Crawford for doubles. He was the only one who tripled. Him and Martinez both had four homers. He drove in the most runs. You know, so he was definitely the guy, you know, the guy there last week. So it worked out really well. And my computer just turned off. Dan, what the hell happened there? Okay, let's see if we can get myself back to what I was doing. Yeah, I'm not kidding. I was reading off the stats and the screen went blank. Like, okay. but yeah, so it was, you know, I think you made the right choice there. I think he definitely was the best player, but you know, yeah, a little bit more competition than I think people may have realized. So I thought that was kind of interesting. So, all right, so you got Escobar and Goldschmidt as your players of the week or your hitters of the week, again, like we like to call them here. So we move over to the AL pitcher of the week. And this was a bit of a surprising choice. So who did you go with here?
Well, first of all, Big Jack, I had to make a mention that former Cub prospect Paul Blackburn is no longer hurt and starting for the Oakland A's. So I thought that was pretty cool. But, you know, I mean, there was a lot of great good numbers. Not great, good numbers last week. It appears, and it kind of reflects with American League hitting, that the American League pitching was just on last week. But I felt like with having started two games compared to all these other guys in the top, you know, 13, even including, you know, going down to Garrett Cole, that you kind of don't know what a second outing would have turned out to be. Granted, I think Bauer, Sale, and Cole might have given you better numbers, but they've been kind of up and down lately too. So I went with the only guy who started twice. Well, not the only guy, but he started twice. It was only in 13 innings, gave up seven hits, two runs. Only one of them was earned. He did walk seven, but he struck out 10, giving him a 1.05 whip and leaving his opponent's batting average at 1.56. And that was White Sox pitcher Ronaldo Lopez. I just felt, you know, between the two outings that he just put together a pretty solid performance for them for two starts. Sad that he didn't win one of them, but we both know why that is.
Yeah, so. Yeah, you know, I thought he was, a really interesting choice. You know, was it the fact that he made the two starts that you stayed away? Because, you know, like Andrew Heaney was really impressive in, you know, his start. He threw the one hitter, you know, complete game, didn't give up any runs. And then Stephen Wright of the Red Sox had a seven-inning stint where he only gave up two hits, but they only made one start for the week. Was it two starts that kind of put you over on those guys for Lopez?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, you know, ERA wise, well, they had Bundy's alphabetical.
Oh yeah, Bundy. He's at the top. I didn't even look up there. Jeez. So.
Yeah, you know, some guys. I still feel like you. Another game would have ranked it better, and amongst all these guys, I don't think you can. I don't want to say have high expectations, but they can't go either way.
Now, when you're kind of looking at this, because this would be interesting to me, how tough is it to kind of decide? Because, you know, like you mentioned Bundy, I mentioned Heaney. They only made the one start. When you're comparing them to, like, the two-start guys, like, obviously Corey Kluber was really good. You know, Luis Severino was solid. You know, there were a couple other two-start guys. How do you try to compare them? Do you try to work it out a little to where it's kind of like, well, if this guy made a start, a second start, or is there a system you have, or is it just kind of your gut feeling there? You're like, no, this is what I'm going with.
It's a little bit more of a gut feeling, but you know, like I said, with the seven guys, six guys ahead of them, their tendencies tell you that while they may have great outings this week, game one, game two may have gone the complete opposite way. If not,
yeah.
To the fact where they're going only three innings, but you know, I don't think either, you know, it could have gone either way. Had they all had another start, I think we may have seen different numbers.
All right, well, let's slide over to the National League then, and we'll wrap things up with the Dan the Man's National League Pitcher of the Week. And you went with?
Ross Stripling. I think it's due. You know, he went 2-0, even though Zach Eflin of Philly and Clayton Richard went 2-0, which I think they had pretty solid performances and even, you know, pitched more. You know, I kind of went with him because, he went 2-0 in 11 innings, only 8 hits, which is kind of high. But he only gave up 2 earned runs, which were oddly 2 home runs. But he didn't walk anybody, and he still struck out 13 guys in his performance.
I just noticed that. I was like, he didn't walk anybody.
Yeah. You know, I mean, even though Max Scherzer did walk 3, so that's not a bad thing when you strike out 22 guys in 15 innings. I just felt like the 2 innings, especially with the Dodgers, really kind of put him over the edge and really helped that team out.
So, and to be fair, people, I want to point out that John Lester was 1-0 with no ERA in his outing, so and Dan didn't go with him. So I don't want to hear any of this Cub homer stuff, okay? So there you go. We'll put that out of there right away. Yeah, you know, kind of looking at it, what was the difference? Because I'm guessing it came down to Stripling and Eflin for you. You know, was it just the fact that Stripling was a Dodger and went with your Dodger low over a guy who's a Philly who you hate? Oh.
Yeah, I mean, then, you know, granted, he pitched two more full innings, but he did give up 3 more hits, an extra run, and he walked the 2 guys, and he had 2 less strikeouts. So, I mean, if you throw both of them on a scale, it's very close to even, but I think the Stripling sinks a little more, maybe on like 15 to 30 degrees.
All right, so there you go. Dan's players and pitchers for hitters and pitchers for the week. You know, I shot them out earlier there, so they always go up on the Facebook page if you want to see them. And then, of course, that goes out on our various Twitter accounts as well. So you can definitely check that out. But now, you know, Dan, what I got to ask you here, it is June 11th, and there's a lot of people chirping, so I want your opinion. How big of a series is this Cubs-Brewers matchup that we have going on here? What is it, three days this week? Will they play Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, or do they have a fourth game?
I was trying to pull it up as you spoke, but I had an unexpected error. Well, you know, Quintana goes up against Guerra tonight. It's kind of a big deal. You know, and I think it's one of those that's, I think, more so for the Brewers. You know, can they take on, and they only have three games. They're off on Thursday night.
Yeah.
I think it's, while the Brewers are ahead of the Cubs, but they're only up by a half a game, I think this is a bigger one for the Brewers, more so than the Cubs, because I think the Cubs still have what it takes to, you know, kind of not run away with it, but, you know, we're looking at a marathon, not a sprint. So I think in the end, the Cubs still have the tools and the opportunity to kind of grab the pace and move ahead of the Brewers. So I think for the Brewers, this is definitely a big series for them.
Yeah, and, you know, the pitching matchups are interesting. You would think tonight should favor the Cubs. You know, Jose Quintana, like you said, against Junior Guerrero. But then tomorrow we come back, it's Tyler Chatwood against, what is it, Tyler Anderson, right? It's Tyler and Tyler? Is that what we're going with there? You know, and I think that may lean a little to the Brewers because you just never know when Chatwood's going to walk 10 guys. You know, and then on Wednesday afternoon we get Mike Montgomery, who's been really good as a starter, against Ulysses Chacin for the Brewers, who's actually 5-1. People may be surprised by that. I would have to say, like, the first matchup kind of leans towards the Cubs. I would have to go the Brewers' way in the second one, but I think the third may be a push. So it could be very interesting to kind of see how these guys, you know, go. You know, all in all, this series may be the most biggest beneficiary may be the Cardinals, because, you know, they're matched up with the Padres. If they could get a sweep and these guys, you know, the Brewers, you know, the Cubs go take two game, you know, 2-1. You know, it could help the Cardinals move up more than anybody else. So, and I don't know how that works out. But, and, you know, I thought I saw that the lineups were out. I know I put Javi Baez in my home run derby because it's a new week. So I'm off a first baseman and on to second baseman now. So he was one of the second basemen I went with. Yes, no, this is incredibly stupid, but yeah, that's my best shot of doing anything here. So since the Cubs are the visitors, this is what they look like tonight. It's Alberto Almora leading off in center. Jason Hayward bats second in right field. Chris Bryant is third at third. Anthony Rizzo hits cleanup at first. Wilson Contreras is back catching tonight. He'll hit fifth. Kyle Schwarber sixth in left field. Javier Baez, seventh at second base. Addison Russell hits eighth at shortstop. And then, of course, Quintana is ninth pitching. The Brewers line up with what's pretty much their regular lineup. Lorenzo Cain leads off in center. Christian Yelich bats second, plays right. Ryan Braun hits third in left field. Jesus Aguilar hits fourth, playing first base. Hernan Perez getting Travis Shaw getting the night off. So Perez is going to play third base and hit fifth. Jonathan Villar hits sixth at second. Eric Kratz is doing the catching tonight and hits seventh. Orlando Arcia hits eighth for the Brewers at short. And then Junior Guerrero, of course, hitting ninth and doing the pitching there. So, yeah, it's a pretty interesting setup. We'll have to see how it kind of shakes out. But, yeah, I would think the Cubs have a – their offense has been a little disappointing lately, but I think they have a little bit of an advantage coming into tonight, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, since I did mention home run derby, I did not hit any yesterday, did you?
Didn't hit enough last week to get any money, so I don't know if they're still doing that. But yesterday, no.
Yeah, I never hit enough to get any money. It just kind of works out. I had a, I don't think I hit any. I think neither Bryce Harper or Mike Trout hit one, and my third guy was Jose Abreu, who did not hit any. Now, obviously, Harper is unavailable tonight because the Nationals are not playing. So, of course, I did go with Mike Trout, and it is, like I said, it's second baseman week. So he's paired up with not only Javier Baez, but I went with the other Chicago second baseman. So I have Mike Trout, Javier Baez, and Yoan Moncada as my home run derby team tonight. So I'm under the impression, since Mookie Betts is back off the DL, that you put him back on your home run derby team?
No. I'm doing a little something different. But I do have to say that yesterday it only took three to win, and only three guys hit three home runs. But of course, when I had three Saturday night, it was, what was it, five to win? Yeah, five to win on Saturday.
Yeah.
So, go me. But no, tonight, I've been going with different batting orders. So, you know, yesterday, I believe, who did I have? Baez leading off, Trout batting second, and then Ramirez from the Cleveland Indians batting third. Which the thing that killed me is Indians scored 9 runs. He didn't hit a home run. Angels scored 5 runs. Trout didn't hit a home run. And Baez, the Cubs hit, had 7 runs, and he didn't hit a home run. So, go freaking figure. So, tonight, I went with batters. Hold on, let me get there. 5, 6, and 7, and that is Matt Davidson of the White Sox, Christian Villanueva from San Diego, and Javi Baez.
Well, we just killed Javi Baez, so sorry, Javi. It's not going to be your night. Now, you know, I was interested. I didn't really realize that, you know, Javi was struggling as badly as he was. I guess he was hitting like 0.080 in his last however many games it was. And the answer to it was to put him in the leadoff spot. How did you like that?
No, I didn't, because he didn't hit any home runs.
Yeah. So,
you know, I mean, it's been harder and harder to really kind of keep in tune with a team that, when you see issues that, you know, can easily be not so much solved, but remedied, but yet you have a coach that's so stubborn on doing things a certain way, even if it's not working out, that they become harder to watch. You know, I still support the team, but I think once they're out from under this umbrella, that things will change again. But I mean, to be honest, and you know, Cubs fans would get mad at me, my diehard friends would get mad at me, but a championship team, I don't think we have anymore with the coach that's there. You know, they usually say that they make up 10 games, but I think that's on a negative end with Joe Maddon now.
Yeah, you know, and then one of the controversial things they said yesterday was, you know, Kyle Hendricks was having a really solid outing, and, you know, he came up in the fifth inning, and, you know, there was two men on, nobody out, so Maddon hooked him for Tony La Stella, who naturally grounds into a double play. You know, I know La Stella's been one of the better pinch hitters in baseball, but you're talking about a guy who is a legitimate, I don't know if I would call him a number one starter, but Hendricks is definitely a legitimate, you know, maybe I would say 2.5, you know, maybe even a 2. And yet it seemed like, again, Maddon panics with a starting pitcher and yanks the guy. So now you tax your bullpen some more, which is the last thing the Cubs need. I don't get this. How did you feel about that? That was probably the biggest controversial move of the game. What were your kind of thoughts there on that one?
I think it's pretty ridiculous. I mean, it's just showing that he pretty much has no trust, it seems like.
So, yeah, you know, more and more, it seems like if your name's not John Lester, you have zero chance of pitching seven innings. I don't know, you know, what really the, you know, the issue there was, you know. And the odd part is there, you know, there was nobody out. I mean, send Hendricks up there and let him sacrifice, right?
Well, they don't teach that anymore.
Yeah, you know, I mean, what you know, what's the worst case scenario? They walk Javi Baez and load the bases with one out. You know, okay, that's great because I, you know, because Jason Hayward's been hot, and then it's Bryant and Rizzo. I don't think there's much of an issue there. Even if Hendricks strikes out, you're still first and second with, you know, the best part of your order coming up. It was just baffling. And, I mean, I'm sure his defense was that LaStella had been hot and, you know, he thought it was a chance to, you know, change the flow of the game or whatever because, you know, the Cubs' offense was kind of scuffling. But, yeah, it you know, blew up in its face and burned up a starting pitcher for no reason. You know, and then in return, the bullpen went out and self-destructed. So there you go. The quality of what goes on. Yeah. Well, you know, he did the Joe Maddon thing, and he overused Brandon Morrow. So, you know, they had to go multiple days without him. I believe he's rested for this series. You know, but stupidly, you know, stupidity-wise, you know, he ranked right up there with handling pitchers. I mean, he's just – he's a buffoon when it comes to handling these guys. I don't get it. You know, I mean, you've got Brandon Morrow who's had arm issues his entire career, and yet, you know, they're milking everything out of him, you know, late May, early June. Okay, great. You know, maybe we could save this guy for September and October. maybe they should have been smarter and found another guy who could have backed him up with some closing experience. But, again, that falls into them being, you know, Theo, Jed, Joe Maddon being the smartest guys in the room. And, you know, that's kind of how things work out.
Well, you know, I brought that up to Uncle Bob, you know, that Joe cares more, I feel like, sometimes about being the smartest guy in the room. And he's like, oh, but it works. I'm like, yeah, but it isn't anymore.
Yeah, you know, it worked 1 year. You know, that's great. We have a World Series championship. It would be nice if they had multiples to hang their hats on. So.
I don't see it happening, sadly.
No.
Not that I'm wanting it to go that way. I just don't see it happening.
Yeah, you know, they have all the tools. You know, they really do. You look at the team, but. You know, starting pitching hasn't worked out, even though they've made what appears to be the right moves. And for whatever reason, and I don't get this with this team, this offense just goes in the tank. And when it goes in the tank, it goes in the tank for games at a time. And it's just like, man, why isn't there, you know, where's that one guy where you can jump on his back and they can carry you while you're going through this? And for whatever reason, the Cubs don't seem to have that guy who steps up and kind of takes over. It's baffling, but there's just nobody there.
Well, you know, I mean, when you have the hot lineup going, well, it's been too hot for 3 days, so now we've got to completely disrupt it and take everyone out of it.
Yeah, we have to shuffle it and, you know, put different, you know, have Chris Bryant lead off or, you know, have Javi Baez lead off or whatever, you know, they've got going on there. You know, yeah, we've got to, you know, wipe it out and start all over again because, well, that's what we do. And I like to put my players in uncomfortable situations. Yeah, great. That's just wonderful. Try winning some games, idiot. So. But yeah, that's kind of how the things go here, you know, so we'll see. But, you know, yesterday I did want to tell everybody the FanDuel lineup I put together on air with Mr. Fantasy did you know, it didn't do too bad. I ended up with 151.30. So it was a pretty solid day. You know, enough to get my money back, not enough to win anything, but you know, as long as I'm getting my money back, I'm happy with that. So I did roll a lineup out tonight besides the Home Run Derby. You know, I always try to run one out there for you. Let me get it to pull up here because technically we are live already with this. They started a few minutes ago. I decided tonight I'm going with Carlos Carrasco of the Indians as my pitcher. He cost me $9,700. I haven't done this in a while, but I actually teamed him up with his batter roommate. My catcher first baseman is Yan Gomes of the Indians. He's hitting eighth for them, cost me $2,300. Second base, I'm going with Daniel Descalzo of the Diamondbacks. He's leading off for them, cost me $2,800. My third Indian of the night is Jose Ramirez, who didn't homer for Dan yesterday. He's hitting third for them tonight, cost me $5,000. My shortstop is Dan's guy, Xander Bogaerts. He's hitting fifth for the Red Sox tonight, cost me $4,100. And I saved all my money in the outfield. I know you people were like, man, you're spending a lot of money. Well, here you go. My first outfielder is Gorkys Hernandez of the Giants. He's leading off for them, cost me $2,500. My second outfielder is Malik Smith of the Rays. He's hitting seventh for them, cost me $2,400. Then I go with another one of Dan's guys. I got Cameron Maben rounding out my outfield. He's hitting cleanup for them, only cost me $2,000. So I know it's a tough matchup against Madison Bumgarner, but you know, what's he going to face him two times because they can't go through the order three times anymore? You know, it is Bumgarner's second start, so he may not be in there too long. And then I round out with Dan's National League Hitter of the Week. Paul Goldschmidt is my utility guy, hitting second for the Diamondbacks, cost me $4,200. So just to recap, Carlos Carrasco is my pitcher, Yan Gomes in the catcher first base slot, Daniel Descalzo at second, Jose Ramirez at third, Xander Bogaerts at short, and my outfield is Gorkys Hernandez, Malik Smith, and Cameron Maben, with my utility guy being Paul Goldschmidt. The league actually has started. It was, I believe, a 6:05 start, but it's a, you know, the late swap lineup, so you don't have to worry about you know, and any of that, then you can still go in and edit your lineup and stuff if you want to. So there you go. That's what I'm running out with today, and hopefully it'll get me some money. So we shall see. You just never
Now, I know you were completely disappointed and you didn't have no clue that this was coming to it, and you're completely shocked so much that you almost fell off your balcony yesterday or this morning when you read that Rookie of the Year, Player of the Year, MVP, Cy Young Award winner, Rollie's Relief winner, batting title, Gold Glovers, and future Hall of Famer, Shohei Ohtani, most likely going to be out until 2020 because of the inevitable Tommy John surgery.
Yeah, you know, it was an interesting scenario. Did you see the Angels actually released a statement on how he's not being considered for Tommy John? So I thought that was kind of humorous after all. Yeah, apparently they were saying he's not at that point to where he needs it. But, you know, everybody is kind of reporting it. It's a very similar situation. Remember when Masahiro Tanaka had this issue and everybody had him going to get Tommy John and it would be better if he did it and just took the year off and wouldn't be able to manage? It's very similar to that. But, you know, they're saying they don't think he's going to need it and they're going to stick with the rehab and, you know, we'll see how it goes. But yeah, if he does have it, as a pitcher, he would be out till 2020, but he actually could return as a hitter sooner. You know, if you're the Angels, do you use him as a hitter?
No. I want that arm ready.
No?
No, he's supposed to be a pitcher, but I mean, it almost becomes to the point where did he become a full-time DH if you can get him back?
Yeah, because, you know, they were, I don't remember the number, but apparently, yeah, the return to a hitter wouldn't be anywhere near as long. So, I don't know if that's something they would be interested in trying to do, or how they, if it would even make sense for them. But yeah, how do you handle that situation? I mean, he's supposed to be a two-way player. Do you allow him, or do you just keep him in rehab?
I think you evaluate at that time. But I almost feel like you keep him in rehab.
So yeah, it's definitely an interesting scenario for them to see how they handle it. I don't know, what the best move is. Obviously, you've got to see, where he is and all the other, all the other kind of fun stuff that goes along with injured players. I just thought it was kind of strange that it was like, wait, now he's, now he's going to be out till 2020.
I was thinking that didn't take long, right?
Yeah, what do you make, 4 or 5 starts?
That's what it feels like.
So, yeah, I don't get it. And I know he had some really impressive starts, which they love to talk about. They kind of skip over the bad ones. You don't want to ruin a good story. So, you stay away from the negative stuff there. And, they totally gloss over the fact that they skipped him pitching against the Yankees because, let's face it, they were afraid he was going to get lit up. I get that. The Yankees are, one of the better hitting teams in baseball. So you hide your guy so he doesn't have to face that embarrassment. That's cool. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, like you brought up, I didn't even realize that this was, pre-existing. So yeah, I don't know. It's kind of strange. Does the split finger put that much pressure on you as a pitcher that you have these problems?
Never threw one.
Never, me neither. One of those situations here. But yeah, I had to look. He's actually made 9 starts. 5 of them were quality. He's 4-1 with an ERA of 3.10. So, in 49 and a third innings.
That's not very high.
No, not, sorry, I had a little bit of a frog there. 61 strikeouts to 20 walks. So he had a really good ratio. Case per 9 innings were really high. But yeah, like I said, when, you kind of break it down a little more, than what they kind of really let on, he had an okay start against Oakland his first time out. The next one was when he broke out and everybody got on the bandwagon. And he had the 12 strikeouts over the 7 innings. And everybody was really excited. What they don't tell you is his next start out against the Red Sox, he only lasted 2 innings. So, then against a very good Astro team, he only made it 5. He pitched 5 and a third. Ended up giving up 4 runs. You know, had a solid outing against the Mariners. You know, and nothing great here. I mean, 6 innings, 2 runs. You know, against the Twins, it was 6 1/3 with a run, but he had the 11 strikeouts, which everybody's excited about. You know, Tampa Bay, he went 7 2/3. But now we're talking about Tampa Bay here. You gotta listen to the names of the teams. You know, Detroit, he had just a 5-inning outing, and while he only gave up 1 run, the team got lit up. And then against Kansas City, which oddly, Dan, you'll find this humorous, I had him in my FanDuel lineup. He was my pitcher that night. Lasted just 4 innings, gave up the 1 run, walked 3, struck out 4 before they hooked him with the problem. So, there you go. But here's the quote, Dan, from the Angels general manager. It says, there's been no change in Ohtani's diagnosis, and neither our physicians nor medical staff have recommended Tommy John surgery or said it's likely. So that's where they are.
Where do all these reports come
from? Well, apparently Pedro Gomez of ESPN threw it out there, and everybody ran with it because he used the term would probably need Tommy John surgery to address the partial ligament tear. So, you know, once that gets out there on a major network, everybody runs with it like wildfire. You know how that goes.
Yeah.
So, you know what I mean? I'm sure it's possible he may still need it depending on how the ligament recovers through, you know, rehab or therapy or whatever they decide to do with it. But, yeah, according to Billy Apple, is the Angels general manager, so he's the one who made that statement. So, but do they have a... Yeah, that's really it. It's just, yeah, it appears that Pedro Gomez tried to voice the story and got the proverbial cart ahead of the horse there again.
Oh, you're welcome.
So yeah, that's where that one went. But, you know, we'll see. You know, we'll see where he ends up. You know, the other. I guess we could call him, you know, big name pitcher that headed back to the DL was, you know, Steven Strasburg. You know, ends up back on the DL. I'm trying to remember. Oh, I'm on the wrong team. I have him on one of my teams, so I went looking to see what they were saying, what his injury was. I thought it was pectoral, but I think I'm incorrect there. Come on, where are you? And of course I can't. Why can I never find things when I need things? What is it always working with that way for me? All right, let's just use Dan's favorite thing. We'll bing him. They said right shoulder inflammation is why Strasburg is headed to the DL. So, yeah, another, I don't know, setback, however you want to look at it, for Strasburg. And I don't know, things have been going pretty good as of late, but
that could be one of those where, you know, if they stretch it to the All-Star break, which I don't think so with inflammation, he could really bounce back after the All-Star break and just kind of keep going in the way he was going. I just think the whole Ohtani thing sucks because was it inevitable? Kind of what I feel like. You know, they already knew he had the issue. He chose to just run with it, and, you know.
Yeah, you know, you have to wonder, you know, I guess just depending – you know, how you feel, you know, how you feel about the situation, you know, those other, you know, those other kind of, you know, things there, you know, maybe they, you know, I mean, obviously, again, it's something we don't know, but could they have managed it poorly? You know, I'm not sure. We don't know enough about it to know how they kind of went about it. But yeah, you wonder, you know, if there was possibly a way around it.
Yeah, I'm not letting him play. I think that was about it, and that's kind of my point. Was, you know, it's like I've got 300 miles to go, but my gas tank is only 30 miles per gallon, and I've only got 3 gallons left. Let's say 4 for good measure. You know, I mean, it was bound to happen.
You know, you wonder if maybe they would have been better off using him as just a hitter this year and, you know, almost allowing him to just rehab the entire season, you know, and you know, kind of see how that went. Maybe not use him in the rotation to start or, you know, something to that effect. You know, I mean, obviously they didn't think it was serious enough to warrant him not pitching, but yeah, you know, in hindsight is always 20/20.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
You know, like you said, hindsight's 20/20, but coming into the season, they knew what they were working with. You know, we obviously don't know how often he was getting checked, but you know, it's almost like he should have been, you know, having an MRI weekly the next morning after every start.
Well, you know, and I know you're kind of joking about that, but it's probably not a bad idea.
No, you can't tell me what the amount of money, you know, they have. Especially with the game that they have and the facilities that they have. They haven't gone this route yet.
We're up against the clock here, so I got to ask you: Did you invest any time watching CM Punk or Phil Brooks fight over the weekend there?
No, I forgot all about it. I was going to go meet my brother-in-law, but I fell asleep.
I did not see any of it. I did read some reports that said he looked greatly improved from his first fight, but he still was dominated, losing a unanimous decision. And I'm wondering, you think he's done, or do we got another one of these in here? I guess more how I want to phrase it is, do you think they did enough paper to fight out of him?
I mean, it was here in Chicago, wasn't it? So I think they've got one good fight, one good promotion left before they've got to.
Yeah, I mean, with him fighting in Chicago, you know they sold out. You know, the key is just buy rate, and I'm just wondering if they did enough buy rate to drag him out there one more time and let him get beat up.
Yeah, you know, you have one more where you could put his name on a headline, otherwise. Undercard Fox TV crap.
It's time for Dan and I to roll out of here. So, hey, we'll be back tomorrow at 5:30 to do this again. You know the deal while we're going. SportsTimeRadio.com. Check out what's going on over there. Hit that link solid over to the SportsTime Radio Facebook page. You can give that a like while you're over there. Hey, you know how to Dan and I would appreciate that. Don't forget the Twitter feed, though, which is at SportsTimeRadio. Twitter if you'd like to do that as well. As always, if you're on here and listen to us live, the best of us, the podcast is available for you to listen to anytime you want at tunein.com.